Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. In other words, think about that. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield or increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That is God's purpose in the earth, that all the ends of the earth would fear him. I don't mean like morbidly be scared of him. I mean like be in awe and worship him and obey him and magnify him, knowing that he is the reason we all exist. You know what? You want to know why you are here on this planet? It's to know God and glorify him and enjoy him forever. That's the purpose of man. Praise God. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. Going out to the nations, man. But even Peter seemed to realize that in this passage that we're looking at, because he says in verse 35, he says, in every nation, what? Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. He's talking about all the different Gentile nations. No matter what background they came from, no matter what tribe they came from or nationality. And then in verse 43, he says to him, Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever, say it, Rachel, loudly. Say it for her, Liamar.
Whoever.
Very good, Rachel. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about in every nation, whatever God they worship. He's talking about every nation, no matter where they come from, when they worship Jesus Christ and put their faith in his name, they will be saved regardless of their ethnic background. It is a gospel for all people. Praise God. He's not talking about, you know, getting saved by working righteousness. People asked Jesus, what shall we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe on the one whom he has sent. And that's what Peter's saying here. It's through Jesus Christ. Now, we can do this a couple ways. One, we can all go out to the various portions of the world, go out into the mission field and take the gospel to the nations. That's one way. Another way is, because we are so fortunate, we live in this incredible place called the United States of America, the melting pot of the world. We have all the nations coming into here. We have them beating down the doors to get in our country. We can't even keep them out. They're just pouring over the borders all the time. So the nations are actually coming to us. So what we can do is be a little cross-cultural and start reaching out to people who might be a little bit different than us. You know, maybe they don't talk exactly like us or look exactly like us. Maybe they don't have freckles like I do, or maybe they, you know, have a different, you know, kind of a wave to their hair, or maybe they talk with a little weird accent, you know, like, you know, Tillman Island kind of a thing going on. But, you know, not that they're a different nation. That's the Western Shore. Anyway, I'm sorry, brother. I was just kidding. But truly, you know, to be open to God using us cross-culturally and just reaching out, maybe getting a little out of our comfort zone and talking to folks who aren't exactly like we are. Maybe they're a little bit different. But going ahead is the Holy Spirit leads and really reaching out to them with the gospel. It's so cool in America that we can do that, because we are filled with the nations right on our own shores. That's one. Be a missions-minded people. Number two, we need to be a color-blinded people. We need to be a color-blinded people. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul said, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. There's two groups of people, those who are saved and those who are lost. And we want to get as many from one side, the lost side, into the saved side as possible. He said, I only know people after Christ anymore. Jesus died for all people, all colors, all nationalities. It doesn't matter how racially prejudiced the world is in either direction in the church. It ought never be seen. And I'll proclaim that here or in Alabama or in anywhere else you set me. And they can do whatever they want or say whatever they want. But it ought not be seen in the church. Brett Hicks, who is the pastor of our sister church in Bay Ridge in Annapolis, grew up in the South. And he saw things, he told me things he saw growing up that just rocked my world. I could not believe that in this day and age that kind of stuff was going on. That down in the South, there are still towns where they have restaurants where blacks and whites have to eat in different parts of the restaurant. To this day, that shocks me. I'm like, I can't believe that. He said down in the South they had Christian Brotherhood Sunday, one Sunday where all the churches in the area would celebrate the brotherhood of all believers in Christ, the brotherhood of all Christians. And on Christian Brotherhood Sunday, they would lock out people of other races from worshiping in their church. What in the world is up with that? That's insane. That ought not to be in the church of Jesus Christ. He died for all people. I was watching a documentary about American Nazism the other day. It made me sick to my stomach. And they were showing people from the KKK talking about their hatred as though it were a Christian value and priding themselves on being white Christians and preaching their hatred like it was some kind of Christian value. It made me sick in my stomach. How twisted that is. Galatians 3:26, we ought to let this burn into our hearts. Paul says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you," he's speaking here, he's writing to Gentiles, "for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." One body of believers, one nation, one living temple of God, one body, one organism in Christ. You know what makes us one in Christ? Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that's in me is in every other believer in Jesus Christ. Praise God. The most priceless, valuable treasure we have. I mean, there is nothing in this planet more precious and valuable and priceless than this. The most valuable treasure that you can have is the presence of the indwelling God, that Holy Spirit indwelling you. We have no idea how precious that is. That is a treasure beyond words. We are saved by that indwelling Holy Spirit. We are freed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He frees us from sin. We can fellowship with God because of the Holy Spirit. We can fellowship with each other in joy unspeakable, full of glory because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the fullness of the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can operate in spiritual gifts that give us powers to do great and mighty things. People are healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said somewhere in there, I think it's in Ephesians, that we are able to do exceedingly above, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine according to the power that dwells in us. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. We are one in the Holy Spirit. The most intimate, powerful fellowship we can have with God and with each other is possible because of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is indwelling each of us. And so when Peter saw that God had poured out the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles, more than anything else he saw that week, that totally blew his mind. He was picking his brains up off the floor when that happened. You know, I mean, Cornelius saw an angel. He didn't blink an eye about that. He was up on the housetop. He saw a vision of a sheep with animals in it. He really didn't blink an eye about that. Scratched his head a little bit and that was it. But when God poured out the Holy Spirit on Gentiles, it rocked Peter's world. He might have thought, well, okay, they can worship with us. They can get saved. That's okay. But oh my gosh. He filled them with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Gentiles, uncircumcised men. Are you kidding me? This rocked his world. But guess what? That's what we have. That's what God has given us. This treasure. I don't have words to describe how priceless this gift is. And so number three, we not only need to be missions-minded people, we not only need to be color-blinded people, we need to be spirit-minded people. God just didn't do that so we could memorize it out of the Bible. He gave it to us so it could be a living, vital part of our day-to-day life, our moment-by-moment walk. He wants us filled and flooded with the presence and power of His Holy Spirit. To the degree that we're not walking in that, we are missing our inheritance from God. We're missing the adventure and the excitement and the thrill and the glory that God has called and destined us to. I mean, each and every one of us here who believes in Jesus Christ, God has set this feast before us to spend our every waking moment filled with His Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, just got to spend time walking in the Spirit. You just got to stop what you're doing for a moment and focus a little bit and listen and allow Him to flood your being with His presence. Listen for His voice. Worship Him. Yeah, right there in Safeway as you're standing in front of the tuna fish. Yeah, I'm serious. Tuna fish worship. I mean, I don't mean you worship the tuna fish, but I mean as you're standing there and shopping, you don't have to be so consumed that you're on, you know, just be in His presence. Say, God, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful you gave me the money to even buy this tuna fish, man. I'm thankful you put this stuff on sale this week. And as you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And then you just yield to Him. Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I've got my agenda. What do you want me to do? Is there someone you want me to speak to in the store today? Man, show them to me, God. I'm ready. Just let me be your mouthpiece. Walk in the Spirit and see what He wants you to do. Praise God. Share your heart with Him. If you go to the tuna fish aisle and it's not on sale, and you're really counting on it being there, and you're like, daggone it. Share that with God. Say, you know, Lord, the times are so tight these days. Man, it's just so hard. But you know what, God? I'm going to trust in You. Help me to keep a good attitude about this stuff. I mean, that sounds so simple. I'm almost embarrassed to preach this kind of stuff, you know? But, you know, that's what it's about, walking in the Holy Spirit moment by moment by moment and allowing Him to fill you and lead you and guide you, yielding to Him in obedience. So that was pretty radical back then. We kind of take it for granted, but let's not take it for granted anymore. Amen? We have a treasure, man. God wants us to be filled with it. He wants us to use it. Praise God.